And in fact, Pope Paul VI issued a formal document to just that effect. Very minimal vernacularizing, as we now call it, of the liturgy. Within 24 hours, he received telegrams from 400 dioceses threatening to break with the Holy See from their bishops. Do you hear me? I'm being taped. Well, you may be sure the Pope prayed, "What should I do? What should I do?" In 68, as we know, when the same Pope issued a Mare Vitae, the bishops of one country after another met in solemn session. And most of the bishops of the North American and North European countries voted against the Pope. And the genius behind those who rejected Humanae Vitae was my confrere Karl Rahner. You read his, what should we call it, document against Humanae Vitae, and you're reading, I repeat, a genius. He drafted for the German hierarchy their rejection of Humanae Vitae. Then, as I've just said, the St. Paul VI issued this formal document, but when he received those, to put it mildly, protest letters from bishops. And this is where only God knows, only He knows what would have happened had Paul VI not withdrawn his first formal document and allowed what we now have, the vernacular in the whole liturgy, seven sacraments, and of course the sacrifice of the Mass, was not commonly known. The present Holy Father issued a document. My friends, we have classes. Hope you don't think they last too long. I can assure you, there's an ocean of information behind every statement that this sinful Jesuit shares with you. Pope John Paul II has been working steadily, and hear it, and Cardinal Ratzinger was appointed to be, as you know, a prefect for the congregation for the doctrine of the faith. To cope with the massive, what word shall I use, harm caused by vernacularizing the liturgy. And as you see what's at stake in our country, here's a prime example. What is at stake is whether the Bishop of Rome has authority over the members of the county hierarchy? Or are they free to tell their people, you can obey the Pope if you want to, but this is what as your bishop tell you to do? By the predecessor of Bishop Mangley in Lansing. You have a copy of my files, front page of the Lansing Diocesan paper, formally, explicitly approving contraception, signed by His Excellency, the Bishop of Lansing. Am I clear? Most of what I know would not speak in public, but I know enough to share this with you. In my 30 years of working with the Holy See, has given me access to knowledge otherwise not, thank God, known to the generality of the faithful. Now, something about the Society of St. Pius the X. This is just a small sample. If I'm not exaggerating, I mean it. 2 feet of documentation from what they call themselves the Priestly Society of St. Pius the X. And pray for the reconciliation. I think the best thing will be, I don't think you have a copy of this, I think it would be wise for me to distribute literature from these, schismatics. Because, Father Hardin has friends, but he also has whatever the opposite is. You mean Father Hardin distributed these pages to you in class. So, Father Hardin is not distributing. Here's what I thought, though. I thought I would give you some dates. And this is Archbishop Lefebvre. Every break in the Catholic Church in 2,000 years, every single break was due to bishops. No exception. As the bishops go, so goes the church. In this case, Archbishop Lefebvre. And the name is spelled Archbishop Marcel, M-A-R-C-E-L. Last name is spelled L-E-F-E-B-V-R-E. I won't give you the exact dates because there's so much to say without just reading numbers. Born in 1905 in France. The third of 8 children. The first 5 of these 8 children all consecrated themselves to God. 2 became priests and 3 became sisters. Nuns. Evidently a pious family. 1923 to 29, he was trained in the French seminary in Rome and got 2 doctorates, one in philosophy, one in theology. 1929, ordained a priest in France. Then he was a secular priest for just 2 years. And in 1931, he entered the Order of the Holy Ghost Fathers. Holy Ghost Fathers. I think I've told you. One of the best English Catholic writers of this century is Father Edward Lean, L-E-E-N, Edward Lean. His book on the Holy Ghost is superb. His book on Jesus Christ is a masterpiece. Easy to say, he is among the recommended authors in the Catholic Lifetime Reading Plan. Member of the same order. Then, from 38 to 45, he was sent to the interior of Gabon as a missionary. Which, I presume, is in Africa. In 1947, the year of my ordination of the priesthood, he was made a bishop. Bishop of Antedone, A-N-T-E-D-O-N-E. And he was apostolic delegate from 1948. to 1959. In 1960 to 62, he was a member of the Preparatory Commission for the Second Vatican Council. Then finally, in 1962, he was elected Superior General of the Holy Ghost Fathers. Council, the Second Vatican Council, not yet in session, 1962. In 68, he resigned as Superior General. In 1970, now we're up to where we began. In 1970, he was elected the first Superior General of the Society of St. Pius X. He died, and this is the language I'm quoting from their own documentation. He died on March the 25th, 1991. And here's what they say. In the order of sanctity. In the meantime, what he did was ordain, as we know, priests to the episcopate against the orders of Pope, well, by 91, Pope John Paul II. And here I could talk, not just for hours, but for days. Pope John Paul II wanted what Archbishop Lefebvre was after. but we had 400 bishops. As I said earlier, whatever words we use, threatening to secede from the Catholic Church, Paul VI decided to approve of an alcohol. Well, the Novus Ordo for the Eucharist and other sacraments and a vernacular. But Archbishop Lefebvre would have to obey the Pope. And this is where Archbishop Lefebvre's French ancestry came back. As I said, for some 600 years, the French bishops accepted no document from the Pope until they approved it. And Lefebvre told Pope John Paul II, no way. The reason, and I think I should say this, I know I'm being taped, the reason why Archbishop Lefebvre was excommunicated was not because of his insistence on the Latin. No. Cardinal Ratzinger did all he could to reconcile Archbishop Lefebvre with the Holy Father. Another cardinal, whose name I will not identify, was talking to me for hours, conversation that he held with Lefebvre. Don't do this, he was told. Don't ordain these priest bishops. Because that means you will break with the Bishop of Rome. They would not listen. And thank God by now, there have been people with those belonging to the Society of St. Pius X, Lefebvreites, who have re-entered the Catholic Church. I work with them. I know them. I counsel them. That is why I think among your belongings, one of the things that I think I gave you, did I give you a few pages on the priestly fraternity of St. Peter? You have something? Okay. Read it. These are straight Catholics. Many shifted back from the Lefebvreites to the Roman Catholic Church. And with them again, I do such work as I can, and just to know what one bishop in the United States has done most to promote not just this fraternity, but another has been founded. Also, women's communities are being founded. Is my very good friend, Bishop Timlin, T-I-M-L-I-N, of Scranton, Pennsylvania. And at this point, I see I could talk for hours, but what I wish to especially bring out is that in the Catholic Church, and I've said how many times, is going through the most serious crisis of our 2,000 years of history. And the crisis is two-sided. The one side is that so many once had called them professed Catholics who have decided they will not accept the Church's teaching especially the church's teaching in morality, and especially the church's teaching on marital and sexual morality. And their number now is in the millions. However, there are others, and the Society of St. Pius X would illustrate that group. And hear it. Who would know when a day is made? Who would know what are the first two capital sins?
Pride and
envy. Pride and
lust.
By the way, how many of you know the abbreviation for the seven capital sins?
Places G.